Where do you stand on the subject of pneumatology? And do you even know what it means? Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. We're currently in a series that we're calling Great Bible Doctrines. Here to talk about pneumatology and spiritual gifts, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
And
I'm
who
Bob.
Are you?
I'm Bob.
I don't have the gift. I wish I knew. I wish I could discern stuff like that just by looking at people.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're in our series covering the great doctrines of the Bible in anticipation of two things. One, a book that you, me, and Ken are going to be writing on basically a concise systematic theology so that anyone could just read this and get an overview of the Christian faith. Something we can use overseas in our overseas ministries. And thank you, by the way, for giving to our ministry and enabling us to send Ken overseas so it doesn't cost the local schools in Africa or Central America or wherever to get good, solid Bible teaching. So thank you for supporting us in that. The second thing that we want to prepare for is our national conference in May 2020, where we're going to be covering the great doctrines of the Bible. And you are more than welcome to come to that conference. It's going to be a time of encouragement. Really building you up in the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, we're in the middle of talking about the Holy Spirit. Pneumatology is the fancy word.
A tough topic because there's a lot of controversy, and we're moving into one of those areas today.
I was just going to say this is probably one of the least controversial, just nothing to talk about areas. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Everybody agrees on the spiritual gifts.
They don't.
There's just no disagreement whatsoever.
There's lots of disagreement.
So the spiritual gifts, first of all, does the Bible give us any lists of spiritual gifts?
Yes, there's basically three places, two, but maybe three if you count Ephesians 4:11. But first of all, 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11. So maybe you could read that. That's the longest one.
Sure. Chapter 12 starts off with Paul saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant." So no Christian should be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And he says, starting in verse 4, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord." That seems to be Lord Jesus.
Right.
"And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." So there you have the Trinity.
Right. The Spirit, the Son, the Father. Yeah.
"But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So the spiritual gifts are not just for your own building up. It's for everyone's profit.
To build up the local church, the people in that church.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You need these gifts for the church. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills."
Yeah, he also has a few more in verse 28 of chapter 12.
So these are kind of like the offices, I suppose.
Right.
"And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." But then he says, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way." So you have all these gifts in the church for the building up of the church and the profit of the church, and we should seek these gifts.
Yeah, and I might mention that when he says earnestly desire the best gifts, a lot of people think this means we're to individually desire the higher gifts. I don't think that's what Paul is saying. I think he wants each local assembly to have these gifts. So it depends on how you understand it, and this is part of the controversy.
Yeah.
Does each believer have one gift, or does each believer have multiple gifts? I think by what he's saying, he's suggesting that each has one gift. And, of course, he uses the illustration of the hand and the eye and the foot. Mm. All that suggests that no believer has all the gifts. Now, I'd make a slight, this is where it's also controversial. It seems to me the apostles had the ability to use all the gifts.
Paul definitely had more than one gift.
Well, Paul healed people.
Yeah.
So he did miracles.
He prophesied.
He prophesied. He also spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
He seemed to have, he was obviously a teacher, a gifted teacher.
Yeah.
It seems there's probably no gift that the apostles lacked.
Right.
But aside from the apostles, which we were limited to the 12 plus Paul and Barnabas and maybe James, if you count him, nobody else had the gift of apostleship. And although it's controversial, some people say the gift of lowercase a apostleship still exists today.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that's not the case. There are no apostles today. The Pope is not an apostle in succession from Peter. The apostles ended in the first century. That's why Ephesians 2:20 says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They were the beginning. They were the foundation along with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the gifts, when we get down to it, fall into certain categories. Now, the ones we mentioned in 4 through 11 are what we might call sign gifts.
Well, are they sign gifts? Because he says they're for the building up of the body, right?
Right.
They're for the profit of all. It sounds like that's a current thing.
Well, it was current when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Now, we'll talk maybe the next episode on whether there's something called cessationism, which is the view that the sign gifts, gifts like prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings, miracles, things like that, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that those have passed away. But the other gifts like teaching and mercy and helps and giving and maybe evangelism, if that's one of the gifts, maybe faith, if that's one of the gifts, those gifts still continue. And we can talk more about that. The opposite of is non-cessationism. There are a lot of people who believe that there are prophets
right.
today, that there are healers today.
Right.
Now, it's one thing to say that God heals today. Of course, he heals today. The question is, are there people who can do what the apostles did or what others did, where they can touch people and heal them,
right.
where their shadow could pass over to people and now, they heal them.
Interesting thing, one of your teachers at DTS.
I was his grader,
your
head grader. Yeah.
Was Jack Deere.
Right.
And he became convinced of continuationism, that the gifts still continue today and that people do have those gifts.
Right.
And he had to leave DTS over that.
In fact, I remember talking with him because he was asked to resign, and he told me he wasn't going to resign because he didn't think he had done anything wrong. So it was in some ways a sad thing, but on the other hand, when you read his biography and things, he feels like that was a key turning point in his life where he changed the direction of his life and ministry from teaching seminary students to pastoring and working in churches.
Interesting. Well, should we say something about each of these gifts and just briefly explain what they are?
Sure, and we haven't gone through. There's another passage we probably should look at briefly, Romans 12:6-8.
All right, Romans 12:6-8 says this, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness."
So notice there you've got kind of a mix of some of the gifts that we might call sign gifts and some of the gifts that we would say are not sign gifts.
Now it says in italics, the New King James adds in italics, "let us use them." But I'm wondering if, I guess that's not actually in the Greek if it's in italics in my translation.
I would say it's added to fill out the meaning. That's,
right.
that's what's implied by the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, notice here you've got not just prophecy, which would be one of the sign gifts. You also have ministry or serving. You have exhorting. You have giving, leading, mercy. So you have all of those gifts. It seems to me when you put these two together, yeah, we can talk about the various gifts, but I think the main point we should recognize is that the purpose of the gifts are to build up the body.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is not saying that if you lack a gift, you shouldn't do it. Like if you, now the
well,
sign
it depends.
Gifts,
yeah,
okay,
it
the sign gifts,
I think it depends
no.
there, yeah.
All right, if you don't have the gift of prophecy, don't do it.
Like you should still show mercy.
Right.
Whether you have the gift of mercy. Now, what would that look like, the gift of mercy? I wonder, I mean, we're all supposed to show mercy, but what does the gift of mercy look like?
Well, it's possible that some people naturally are more, not naturally, but supernaturally, are more gifted at being merciful toward others.
Mm-hmm.
And what that would look like is the way they talk with them, the way they look at them, the way they respond to them.
Yeah.
They're more merciful than everybody else.
Right.
And giving, we're all to give, but some people are able to do it more effectively.
And don't you know some people that their heart, their passion is to
right.
give? And they see needs, they recognize needs that maybe you and I would just be blind to, and they do something about it, and they give sacrificially.
Right.
And it's definitely a ministry for them, or a teaching. Every parent is called to teach their kids,
whether they have the gift or not.
But not everybody is called to teach in a church setting.
Right, and every elder in a local church has to be apt to teach.
Right.
He doesn't have to have the gift of teaching, but he has to be able to teach. The point would be, Dr. Ryrie made this point when I was at Dallas Seminary, that first of all, if we don't have a gift, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to exercise that function. But secondly, if we have the gift, we can improve on it. So, for example, if I have the gift of teaching, I can learn how to be more effective at teaching. That's why I went
right.
to seminary.
Right.
And also, by spending time studying the text, I'm better at it. Some
sure.
people think you should just kind of open the word and just start talking.
Right.
I don't think that's what the gift of teaching is all about.
Right. So you can grow in these gifts. Now, some gifts, if you don't have, you shouldn't try doing it, kind of like prophecy.
Right. All of the sign gifts.
Don't go around predicting who's going to win this or do
right.
that. Don't have special words of prophecy to your friend. You know, I have this idea that you're going to be fired from your job a week from now.
Right.
Or you should quit your job so that God can really bless you.
You're supposed to marry Susie.
Yeah,
you
you're
know?
Supposed to marry me, you know. God gave me a word. You're going to be my girlfriend. No,
yeah,
don't let
right.
Abby hear that. I'm happily married. But
right.
I'm giving that as an example. That can be abused, right? That can lead to a lot of self-delusion.
Right, and I don't believe that the sign gifts are operative today. I do believe they will be during the tribulation, but I don't believe they are during the church age. However, even if they were, if you don't have a particular gift, you can't use it.
Right.
I would say let's, on the next episode, walk through some of these gifts, what they were, what they are, and then we'll also talk about cessationism or non-cessationism, which you called, what, continuationalism?
Continuationism. Well, I hope you continue listening to Grace in Focus.
Very good.
Tune in next episode as we continue this study on the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion and how you handled a sometimes controversial subject with grace and poise. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to continue our discussion about spiritual gifts. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep Grace in Focus.